2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus.
Okay, here is Paul is saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. When Paul is saying, I am apostle because of the will of God. Before you do the Lord's work, you have to have a calling from God. If you are not called by God, you cannot serve the Lord. And there are people serving the Lord without the calling. And then he said, according to the promise of life, which is in Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. So now he says, God has called me to serve him according to the promise of life. Where the promise of life was given to the mankind in the beginning when the man committed sin. There is no religion tells you how to get saved. Only religion, only Christianity will tell you what is the plan and purpose of God for your life. We read in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, God has given us promise that the seed of woman will crush the Satan. And Jesus Christ did exactly on the cross of Calvary. Now the devil is defeated, and the word of God says, according to the promise of life which in Christ Jesus. So this promise was given to us very early in the beginning. Now if you're reading a little bit further, we will be seeing that this promise was not made only when the Adam committed sin. This promise was made before. Let's read the words to
Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord.
Now we learn that Timothy was God saved by Paul's ministry. This man was learning from his mom and from his grandmom. So they are the instrument before the Paul's message came to him. So the Paul saying, Timothy is my dearly beloved son. And he says, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So in short, he says, Timothy is my son, but without God's grace, without God's mercy, without God's peace, we will not be in the Lord's work. So the word of God says, this happened because of the Father and Son together decide to save the mankind. So here is saying, Timothy is my beloved son, but this beloved son happened because of God's mercy and God's peace and God's plan. God so loved the world and that he gave his only begotten son, and because of that, we are born again, children of God. Verse 3.
I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day.
And again, Paul is saying, I thank God whom I serve. In the beginning, he says, I'm serving the Lord because he has called me. And now he's saying, I am so thankful to God that I am serving him, not today only, but he's saying my forefathers served the Lord and I am serving with a pure conscience. Now somebody will say, this man was persecuting Christians. How he's saying my forefathers were serving the Lord and I am serving with a pure conscience, because he's coming from the Jewish family. Not only that, Paul was a teacher. He was the rabbi. And he was the teacher of the law. And so he was teaching the Jewish religion. And he was doing from the pure conscience and pure heart. That's the only thing he knew. He knew Jehovah and he knew the Jewish religion. And that's why he didn't want anyone to come and start another religion. He's reminding him, I'm serving the Lord, but when I'm thinking about you, each time I sit in prayer, nighttime or daytime, I have remembrance of you in my prayer. How many people pray for others? Many people, they have only selfish prayer for me, my family, and they have no time for praying for others. But St. Paul is saying, it's a daytime or a nighttime. I am praying for you in my prayer. Verse 4.
Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy.
Now, again he's saying, I am having great desire to see Timothy. And why he wants to see, he says, when I saw you last time, you were praying for me with the tears and crying for me. That shows a lot of love for somebody. When I was in India, and when I used to go to from India to other places, 2,000, 3,000 miles, people used to come to railway station and they used to cry. So the Saint Paul is saying, I have seen your tears. And when you were crying for me, that gave me joy. And somebody saying, why somebody is crying and you rejoicing? This cry was not the cry for something bad happened. So Paul says, when I remember this about your love, I got joy in my heart. Verse 5.
When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also.
Again, he is trying to encourage Timothy. He says, you know, I saw the faith of God in your grandmother and your mother. Their faith was completely holy. Their faith was pure. Their faith had nothing blemish in their faith. And that's the kind of faith I believe, and I persuaded in my heart, you have the same kind of faith. Without doubt, without hypocrisy, your faith is pure and holy for God. And so that's the kind of faith we need. A real faith in God. Not the faith just to fool somebody that I am a believer. But your faith should be genuine faith. Verse 6.
Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands.
Now he's saying, since you have a faith of God, you have faith of your mother and grandmother, let me remind you something. Now he's saying, when I laid hand on you, God gave you certain gifts, but you are not using those gifts. He's saying, you are a good man, you are a faithful man, you have faith in God, you are my beloved son, I love you, but let me tell you something you are not doing, which I want you to do. What he wants to do, he said, I laid hand on you, I separated you for the ministry, and God gave you gifts, but you are not using those gifts. Now, some people will say, how come somebody just lay hand and you get the gifts? When you lay hand on people, God's power and blessings comes on them. The person who is laying hand, his blessing also comes on them. So when you lay hand, the people can be healed. When you lay hand, people can be blessed. When you lay hand, people can be filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a one man, he was asking for the Holy Spirit for many, many years. When I went there in the night time and they were praying and having prayer meeting, and he gave the testimony. This many years I'm asking God to fill me with the Holy Spirit, but I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not receiving. I said, this is your day. As soon as I laid hand on his head, he filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. And I told you, I went to the Texas, and everybody were having good time and party. One lady sitting there, she was maybe in her 60s, sitting there and praying alone in the upper room. And I felt in my spirit, this sister might have some kind of problem. So I tapped on her shoulder and I said, sister, I'm sorry interrupting your prayer. I'm a man of God. I want to find out what you praying here. So I can add my faith in your faith, and together we pray, and God will hear the prayer, because the Matthew chapter 18 verse 19 says, two people agree and pray, God will hear the prayer. She opened her eyes and she said, I'm born again, I'm baptized, and I'm asking God to fill me with the Holy Spirit, but up to now, God did not give me the Holy Spirit. But I believe this is the upper room, and so I came here to pray so God can fill me with the Holy Spirit. I said, this is your day, sister. That's why God sent me here. I laid hand and prayed, and instantly she starts speaking in tongues. So that is biblical. St. Paul says, I laid hand on you. And the other way it happens, somebody can prophesy, filling with the Holy Spirit and telling you what how God is going to use you. Read the 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 to 16.
Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery.
See, now he's saying, not only laying hand, but the somebody did prophecy. We don't know, Paul said it, or other elderly people did it. So they prophesy that God is going to use Timothy mightily. And then they laid hand and prayed for him.
Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
So he said, why you want to use your gift? He says, people are going to hear your gospel, and you should be saving yourself as well as saving others. So fill with the gift of God. The people are laid hand on you. They prophesied about you. So please use your gift. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. When we laid our hands on you, God has already gave you gifts, and those gifts are inside of you. So what is it? Stir up. Just let the gifts come to surface. Let the people see. Let you use those gifts. And many people, when they read the Bible, they say, well, God only gives one gift to one person. God cannot give all the gifts to everybody. That's not the word of God teaches. When God gives you Holy Spirit, He gives you all the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit as a package. It's up to you to how to use it. As you start using the gifts, then you practice them more and more. God is not the partial God that He would say, okay, I'm going to give this person this gift and that person that gift. Some people use differently, but all the gifts are there and you have to use it. That's what the Saint Paul is saying. Stir up the gifts of God. So gifts are already there. If you believe that you receive the Holy Spirit, all the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are there and you have to use them. And God will give you grace to use them at the time is appropriate. Verse 7.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Now, this verse many people use. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the power, love, and sound mind. After he told the Timothy, stir up thy gifts. And then he telling him, God has not given us the spirit of fear. So what Paul is telling us and Timothy, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, don't think this is evil spirit. This morning somebody called me and they said, you know, I go to the certain church and they think the Holy Spirit and speaking tongue is a demonic. So here the word of God is saying, God has not given us the spirit of fear. When God gives you Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit is a power, dynamic power. God already told the disciples of Jesus Christ, He said, listen, tarry in Jerusalem until you fill with a power. That's not ordinary power. It's a dynamic power. the great power man ever saw in their life. So he said, don't be afraid to use in this gift, because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but he has given you power, love, and sound mind. For what? Using God's gift. Many people are born again, but they don't know how to share their salvation gift or share their salvation message to other people or their testimony. Some people are born again, and they might be born again for 20, 30 years. But if you ask them, how many people came through your testimony to church or to the Lord? Very few people will have testimony that this many people came to the Lord Jesus Christ. One day in India, there was a one lady. She was a Hindu lady, and this is a Christian rich family. So she was cleaning their house and doing all kinds of services. And she was doing for 40, 50 years. And she used to sit there in the prayer when those people are praying, but not a single person asked her, sister, would you like to give your heart to Jesus Christ? When I went to that town, I looked at that old lady. She was 90 or 95 years old. I looked at her and I talked to her in her own language. I said, sister, did you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior anytime? She said, nobody told me. I go and sit here every day, 30, 40 years in this house I'm serving. But nobody came to me and told me that you need Jesus. I said, sister, would you like to give your heart to Jesus Christ? And I led her to Christ. And then I taught her about water baptism. That old lady took baptism when she was almost 95. And she was so happy. She said, nobody told me this good news. I am in this house every day. And all these household people became so shameful. Why in the world we didn't tell her? She's serving us. So point I'm making, don't take it so simple. Every man's souls has a value. Maybe he's a servant in your house, or maybe you saw that person on the street. We have to see this is a divine appointment. The Word of God says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. If you believe that God has saved you, if you believe that God has given you the Holy Spirit and his power, for what? That's why St. Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, I laid hand on you. We prayed for you. God has already given you the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And other people prophesied about you. What are you doing about this? Why are you still not using your gift, and why are you so fearful? Verse 8.
Nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God.
Now again he's saying, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or Lord Jesus Christ. What is the testimony? First of all, if Jesus Christ has saved you, then you have something to tell somebody. Say, I was a sinner, Jesus saved me. I was a sick, Jesus healed me. I had financial problem, Jesus helped me. Whatever problem you were going through, and when you call upon Jesus and Jesus helped you, that is your testimony. That is your personal experience. You don't have to have a Bible degree to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You just tell them about you. When I am a living witness, what God has done for me, that is your testimony. You have to tell people what God has done to you. You can say, oh, you know, I saw some man preaching on the television. He is a good man. I saw about that church and about that man and this man. Doesn't mean anything. You can tell somebody Jesus Christ healed many people 2,000 years ago and Paul did 2,000 years ago. Doesn't mean anything. What did he do for you? That's what you have to say. If he saved people 2,000 years ago, he healed people 2,000 years ago, is he doing today? If he's doing today, what did he do for you? And you say, he saved me. That is my living witness. One day I was preaching in one place, and it's a night time, and there was a pole, light pole, the man was standing there, and he was not paying attention. Service over, people got healed, delivered, set free, and that man was still standing there. I said, sir, do you need a prayer? You know what he said? Don't tell me. I am from Kerala. St. Thomas came to Kerala to preach the gospel first in India. So the gospel came to Kerala first in India, and then from there to went all over the India. I said, sir, you are right. Gospel came to Kerala. Gospel came to all over India. But it did not come to you yet. And your heart. I am not from Kerala. But Jesus Christ came into my heart. You are so proud that gospel preached from Kerala, but you are smoking there and standing there and do not want to listen to the word of God. So what the word of God is saying, you have to have a real testimony. Not my mother was Christian, my father was Christian, and somebody is a priest in my house. That's why I'm going to go to heaven. It's not because of that. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. Somebody says, I went to church 50 years. Doesn't mean anything. If you're not born again, child of God, if you never gave your heart to the Lord, and if you're not witnessing to somebody that, if you want to see Jesus, see me. Jesus is in my heart. He lives in me. And he changed me. That's the testimony. That's what he's saying. You should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And St. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, what he says? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Everyone means you can be Jew or Gentiles or Hindu or Muslim. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he gives you power, not only to get saved, but to preach and teach and tell others about Jesus Christ. That's why Paul is telling to Timothy, Timothy, I laid hand on you. Somebody prophesied. You filled with the Holy Spirit. God has given you gift. Why are you so afraid? Do not be afraid. And he says, you should not be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. As well as he said, I'm a prisoner, and that you might be ashamed. I did not steal anything. I did not kill anybody. They put me in prison because I'm a preacher. So he says, I'm in prison. I'm having all affliction and all kinds of things. For what? For the gospel's sake. I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, that gospel gives us the power to witness. That's what he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 9.
Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Now he said, listen, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. When God has called us, it's not an ordinary calling. He says, that's a holy calling. Now, what is the purpose of that calling? He says, not according to our works. What he's trying to say, God did not call you because you are a good person. God did not call you because you were a preacher, or you know how to preach, or you know how to talk. You know, God called Moses. He was not even a preacher. He said, Lord, I don't know how to talk. And if you read each and every person God called, they were doing something for the Lord. God never called somebody who was lazy and not doing anything. But he says, even though God has called us, not because we were doing some good work. Our all good work is what? Filthy rags in the sight of God if you do not have the holy calling. If you are not a born again child of God. God will not call some sinner. The person has a cigarette in his mouth and a liquor bottle in his hand and a raggedy cloth and go on a street and tell somebody about me. Nobody will hear it. So he said, I have called you with a holy calling. What does that mean? First of all, he makes you holy. He saves you. He washes you. He cleanses you. He puts the garment of praise. He put the garment, the righteous garment. He gives you all of his power and all of his glory. And then he said, go and shine for me. That's what he's saying. God has called us with a holy calling. And then he says, God has called us with a purpose. What is the purpose God called us? Read the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This was in the mind of God, in the heart of God. God created mankind and did not do his will. God created the angels and the angels did not do the will of God. Then he said, okay, I'm going to make a man. That man did not do the right thing, but God did not give up. Let's read verse 10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
See now, Paul is saying, God did not call us according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So now here he's saying, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Before ordained means was. Before even the world was created. God says, I'm going to create a mankind and they are going to serve me. They are going to praise me. They are going to worship me. They are going to do good things. But not a single man was able to do. Then when he sent his son Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is the only one obedient son of God. And he died on the cross of Calvary, and the word of God says he was going like a sheep going for slaughter. Means did not open his mouth. Did not say, why me, Lord? Why I have to go on the cross? But Jesus Christ obeyed. And now if any man in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. And that person can do the things what God wants to. And that's what he says, I have created you in Christ Jesus for doing good work. If you are not in Christ, you cannot do good works. Period. He says, I have created you in Christ Jesus so you can do good works. Without Christ, we cannot do good works. And then he says, these works ordained God before the foundation of the world. Read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
See, God hath blessed us with the spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So all the blessings, whatever we needed, that all we get in Christ. And how was? Read the verse 4.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
See, according as he hath chosen us in him, in whom? In Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him, means before God in love. That's what the will of God was. Why we were created? We are created for the holiness. We are created to do the Lord's work. We are created to do good works, not the filthy works. But we cannot do anything good without Christ. That's why he said, I have created you in Christ Jesus to do good things. And this was in the God's mind, in the God's heart, before the foundation of the world. That means God was saying, one day, the mankind will serve me, worship me, praise me, and live according to my will. And that's why Jesus Christ finished the work And when you are in Christ Jesus, the Word of God says you are new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. Means what? Now you are holy in the sight of God. And that's what the Word of God says. God has given you holy calling to do His work. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10.
But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Now he's saying, again he's saying, but now is made manifested by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What appear? He says, up to now, the mankind was not able to do anything for God. But now, we are able to do something. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Before Jesus Christ came, the man was slave to sin, sickness, disease, and death. So just think that somebody is lying on the bed and dying, and you tell that person, did you do anything for the Lord? And that person was never saved. What are you going to say? I didn't do anything. But what do you say? If God gives you life, and you will not die right now, and He gives you life, that life will be eternal life. Will you tell somebody about Jesus? What that person will say? No, let me die. I don't want to talk about Jesus. I guarantee you that person will say, if you give me life, I come out of this deathbed, surely I'll tell somebody about Jesus. I have seen many, many, many people dying on their deathbed, and somebody witnessed to them or Jesus appeared to them. One person was ready to die, and the nurses and doctors and everybody said, it's finished. You're dying. Jesus comes through the wall and he says, go out. And purchase the gospel Bible and read the John's gospel and tell somebody what God has done for you. And this person got up from the bed and went to the bathroom, start shaving and things like that. The nurses came and said, hey, didn't that priest came and gave you last ride and you supposed to die? He said, another priest came through the wall and he told me, go home. So I'm going. And so he went and started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was another man I recently heard. He was a Jewish guy. They cannot do anything. He was completely paralyzed or something. And they told his wife and everybody, there's no hope. And Jesus came to him and he says, you're going to live. You're going to walk. And he told the doctor, doctor, Jesus told me, I'm going to be all right. Nothing is going to happen to you because medical science proved that you are not going to walk and lifetime you'll be like this. He didn't listen to anybody. He went to the nurse's station walking and he said, I'm going home. Completely healed. And his son was the leader of the Jewish community. And so he thought, I'm going to go to my son and I'm going to tell him what Jesus Christ has done for me. He said, I never heard about Jesus. Nobody preached to me about Jesus. How to tell other people about Jesus? But only one thing I knew. He healed me. He healed me. So I'm going to tell somebody about him. And he called all the Jewish people in that committee. And he testified that Jesus healed me. And he said, you should believe Jesus. They saw the man walking completely healthy. But they said, no, we don't believe. Get out of our synagogue or get out of this meeting and we excommunicate you. Can you imagine? They can see the miracle with their eyes, but they didn't want any part of Christianity. Just like the blind man. You remember? The blind man said, Jesus healed me. He says, you are crazy. You are a sinner. Get out of the synagogue. And they kicked him out of the synagogue. And Jesus Christ met him. So point I'm making, when this man was testifying and they were kicked him out and he didn't know where to go, husband and wife. And this tour he went to this Christian community. And there is a Bible college. And the Bible college got the message that this man, he doesn't have any place to live. They sent him 2 tickets to go to Bible college. And so he said, see how God is good. When they kicked me out, and no place to live, he went to the Bible college and studying the Word of God. And this morning I was listening one Muslim man. The Muslim man got saved. He was a terrorist or whatever. And today he's still having a beard like a Muslim and no hair on the head. And preaching and telling the people, you should be real Christian, not the phony Christian. I thought he saw so many phony Christians. So he said, he got saved, genuinely saved. Gave up the Muslim religion. Mother and father, everybody wants to kill him. So now he is telling to Christian, you people, you are so phony Christians, and you don't know what the real Christianity is. Give up these phony ideas and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what St. Paul is saying? St. Paul is saying, but is now made manifested by Jesus, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means now it is revealed to us through Jesus Christ what appeared to us, that Jesus Christ came into this world and abolished, means completely demolish or completely destroy the death, and has brought us life and immortality to light through the gospel. What does it mean? The people did not know the real life. People were dying without God and without Christ, and they were living in darkness. But Jesus Christ came and showed what the real life is all about. Life we are living is not real, but we have to have a life of Christ. When you receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, death is vanished. No death is hanging over us. The day you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the death penalty is gone, the death is gone, and we are living an eternal life for Jesus Christ, and all this body become completely immortal body. Means we are not going to be dust to dust anymore. Our body is going to be transformed. And this sin was secret. Nobody knew. Jesus Christ revealed. You remember what Jesus Christ said when that Lazarus was dead? He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And nobody knew that Jesus Christ is the resurrection. But today we know, without Jesus, there is no eternal life. Okay, verse 11. 2 Timothy 1:11.
Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles.
Now he's saying, that's why. Why? Because Jesus Christ appeared to me. Jesus Christ saved me. Jesus Christ gave me eternal life. I have no fear of death. That's why I'm a preacher. That's why I'm a preacher, he says. That's why I'm a preacher, and I'm appointed as an apostle and a preacher. Who? God. So we have to remember what Paul is saying. If you're born again, if you are saved, if your life is transformed, if you are passed from death to life, you are living an eternal life right now, why are you so shy? Why cannot tell somebody? And so each and every believer start thinking, I have a witness. I'm going to tell somebody and bring my friend or bring my relatives to church. I saw one man walking with me, and he said, show me your Jesus. I'll tie him to my bed and shoot him and kill him. I said, okay, the day is coming. You will be in your bed. Man was really on the bed and dying. And he sent somebody called Pastor Peter. And I went there and I said, sir, what can I do for you? He said, I'm dying. He said, you're supposed to kill Jesus. He said, no, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Could you please pray for me? I laid hand, man got healed, came to church, I baptized him and became a Christian. There's nothing impossible. If you don't know how to talk to them, just say, Pastor Peter, this is my friend. Could you talk to that person? I'll be more than happy to talk to somebody. I don't give up on people. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Today or tomorrow, they will come. One man, I gave him the card, and he said, he threw the card. I didn't take the card. I left the card there and I walked away. I said, someday you will need that card. 3 years later, he comes and knocking at the church door. When he came, he said, do you remember me? I said, no, sir. I saw him only once. I did business with him. He said, do you remember me? I said, I don't remember you. He took the card. He said, do you recognize this card? I said, yes, sir, that's my card. I said, now I'll tell you the story about this card. You came, you purchased some material from me, and you gave me your card, and you invited me to church. And I threw the card, but you walked away. You didn't take the card. I know now who you are. And so he told me I have a disease. I went to the several doctors. Doctor says there is no cure. So you said Jesus is the answer. So I came here. Do you think Jesus has the answer for my sickness and disease? I say, yes, sir. And I prayed for him, and instantly that man got healed. That man was the Communist Party leader. Big man. And one day myself and him, we were walking in the hospital visiting somebody. Doctor comes, he was famous. And so doctor said, hey, you are a Communist Party leader and this is a man of God, and how you became friend? Why are you walking together? The man gave the testimony. He says, if there is a God, because he was not believing God, if there is a God, there is only one God, and that God is Jesus Christ. So I said, praise God. So point I'm making, Jesus Christ has saved us and he has given us eternal life. So Paul saying, thereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher for the Gentiles. So what is our story? This man was destroying the Christianity. Now he's a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your neighbors, your friends should know where you go to church, why you go to church, what God has done for you. If you never did it, start doing from this Sunday. Okay, verse 12.
For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
Now he's saying, I am not ashamed, and I believe what God has called me. He says, I have no doubt in my heart what I'm believing. I'm really know what I'm doing. This is not like somebody told me about Jesus. I have personal experience with Christ. And so he said, I'm persuaded. Verse 13. I'm going to finish it very soon.
Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus.
So he's trying to say, I have given you the testimony. You have seen my life. You have seen my faith. You have seen my love in Christ. So he's saying, what you do now, follow me. Do what I do. Verse 14. Please read now. 14 to 17.
That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from thee, of whom art the jealous and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me.
Now St. Paul is telling to Timothy, Timothy, I already told you, do not be ashamed of Christ and me as a prisoner. I am here in prison because of preaching the gospel. He said, there are people in Asia, he was working in Asia. He says, some of the people denied me, went away, and became unbelievers. Why? Because the preacher, you preached the gospel and today you are in jail. Why cannot God save you? Why cannot God deliver you? So I don't believe that God anymore. And they walked away. And there are so many people like that, they do. If your mind is on a minister and not God, you will fall. There was a church. And when I went there, they start talking about that man. Oh God, send this man so he can do miracle. Oh God, send this man who can do. I got tired of listening to that. I said, sir, hold on. The man you're calling and that man is high today, that man will be falling tomorrow. Then what? Why don't you call upon Jesus and say, Lord, use me for this meeting, because they had a convention going on. And they were asking the man to come. And exactly happened. The man who was the highest degree fell down in sin and is no more in that church anymore. So what I'm trying to say, wherever I go, I tell the people, focus on Jesus. Not on Pastor Peter, not on any leader, on Jesus Christ. When you're focusing on Jesus Christ, you will never fall. You will keep on going. So he says, many people turn away from me, turn away from God. Only one person, he says, he came to me and he searched me everywhere. Now in his prison, I don't know how many prisons were there. So he searched me diligently and finally he found me and he came and visited me. And he was not ashamed of me or my chains. So the verse 17 is said, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Why? Everybody is running away from Paul, but this man is running to Paul. Doesn't matter he's in chain or he's in jail. He is a man of God. He did not commit any sin and he is suffering for Christ. I am going to suffer with him. That's why sometimes this thing happens. Verse 18.
The Lord grants unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well.
Okay, now he's saying, I want this person be blessed, and he should find mercy in the day of the judgment, or when Jesus Christ is coming. So what he's trying to say? The judgment day is coming. The very horrible days are coming. Are we going to stand for Christ? But if your mind is set up on Christ, if you love God, if you live for gospel's sake, then God is going to protect you. We don't have to worry about anything. If God is with us, then what? Who can be against us? He says, what God has called us with a definite calling. I'm going to focus on Christ, and Christ is coming. This morning somebody says, this is the song you sing when my funeral. No, we don't have to wait for the funeral. Jesus Christ can come today. We are not going down, we are going up. Every day we have to think, Jesus Christ is coming and I'm going up. Don't worry about dying. Think about living. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You have called us with a definite calling. Your word says you have given us the holy calling. We are separated for Christ. And God has ordained before the foundation of the world that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and death. And we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. And you are coming very soon. Prepare us, O Lord, for thine soon coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.